Good to be in church. I'm glad to preach tonight. If you got your Bibles, let me take you to our launching point for a moment. And then we'll go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. But go to our launching point in 1 John chapter 5. You that were here last week know that I preached out of the first five verses. I'm going to read them again. I'm talking in these days and these weeks to come on the overcoming life. I want you to know something. You'll never overcome in life until you have a foundation of faith. Faith is the key to overcome in life. You'll never overcome in life if you don't have faith. And I'm going to prove that. Turn to 1 John 5. Are you there? Verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth Him to beget loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. I preached that last one. I won't hit that anymore. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Now listen to these verses. He said, preacher, there ain't no way I can overcome what I'm facing. Well, then you're calling to God a liar. Listen, for whatsoever is born of God. Now, I want to ask you, how many of y'all is born of God? Raise your hand. Give you a good chance to testify. All right, come on. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Amen. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth or has faith that Jesus is the Son of God. That's the foundation. And there's too many of you Christians, look at me in your eye, Bible, are living beneath your privileges, and you're letting things overcome you that absolutely shouldn't overcome you. Amen. That's everyone in this room. Every one of you said you were born of God. Unless you're just kidding. I'm born of God. So I have the capacity in my faith to overcome anything. Now, Jeff and I are kind of trying to do the same one every week to build upon. He used a completely different text than I'm using. But I want you to go to our text in 2 Timothy. And I'll spend a few minutes here, about 30 minutes, and let you go home. But boy, this is good stuff. 2 Timothy 1, are y'all there? Amen. Amen. Look at verse number 6. Wherefore, I put in remembrance that thou stirrest up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Somebody pray. Say amen. But of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed. Thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. He was talking to a young preacher. He talks about three things, this young preacher, by way of introduction. He talks about his forgetfulness. Amen. See, fear will cause you to forget. Amen. You'll forget what happened to you in the past, how God took care of you. Hey, by the way, fear also cause you to fail. You'll start becoming ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. Come on, somebody. I read a book. I read all the time. I pull stuff out. A book written by John Hunter. And it's entitled, Knowing God's Secrets. In that book, John Hunter made this statement. He said, medical science says 60 to 90% of our sicknesses are caused by our emotions. Stress. Come on, help me. Stress. Worry. Depression. Bitterness. Loneliness. And guilt. Ladies and gentlemen, you'd be a lot healthier if you didn't have so much fear in you. Because it's weighing down on you. You want to know why you got heart disease? Some of us would cause our stress. Come on now. Some of us, because you know why you're so anxious and worried? It's because of stress. Boy, help me preach tonight. From the cradle to the grave, fear casts its baleful shadow. For God's fear is our greatest adversary. I say to you again, fear is our greatest adversary. You said words that mentioned first. We were talking, I didn't quite get it to you, did I? Well, you'll get it in preaching. It was mentioned first in the garden. Genesis 3:9-10. Here's what it said. And the Lord thy God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. And I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Right in the garden he was afraid. I'm going to take a poke at the Calvinists again. Every chance I get. You say, why are you doing that every service? Because they are lethal. They are tearing up our churches. They're in the Southern Baptist big time. And now they're entering in the Independent Baptist. And a lot of Bible churches. Come on, help me. And if they get mad at me, then, but I'm not going to debate with you, Calvinists. You're wrong, okay? You said, well, how could you mention it right there? You didn't get it? Well, the Calvinist says that you can't hear from God unless you get some irresistible grace. I'm preaching it. And by the way, not only did Adam hear the voice of God and he was spiritually dead, he also talked to God. So don't tell me a sinner can't respond to the gospel. You say, why are you preaching this week? Because somebody got to load their gun against these liberals and these modernists and these real heavy thinkers that think they have arrived. I'll tell you when you know you're arrived, when you know you're an old sinner saved by the grace of God and you're a whosoever will. That's not my message, but I'm sure going to hit it every time it's in the Bible. Hey, man, Howard Hughes used to use 4 boxes of Kleenex a day to wipe his hands because he's afraid of getting some disease. And I shake 800 Baptists a week's hands. I've been bumping here this week. Hello. I'm not nervous. Marguerite, you know, she tells me put that stuff on me. Like I remember it. No. But hear me out. I'm going to give you 3 things. I want you to read this. There are several descriptions of fear in the Bible. Look at verse 7. For God hath not given us the what? Now, they're called phobias. I did not know this until I read and studied. You know how many phobias there are? 700. 700. Wow. Oh, y'all know claustrophobia. You don't like to get in somewhere tight. I was in Pittsburgh and there's 9 of us in the elevator and there's a real big woman about my size in there. And she's already sweating. I was too, 9 people in the elevator. And that thing broke down right on the elevator. It broke down. We was in there 1 hour and 45 minutes. That woman, she repented of every sin she ever had. She said, I said, I'm a Baptist preacher. Everything's all right. She said, pray, preacher, pray, preacher, pray, preacher. I'm telling you, we was there 1 hour and 45 minutes, closed up. Does that make anybody nervous? Then acrophobia, that's a high place. Now, that's one of my problems. Acrophobia, that's the fear of work. That's some of your problems. And demophobia, that's the fear of crowds. Gamophobia, that's the fear of marriage. It might not be a bad idea. Levophobia, that's the fear of things on your left side. Listen to this one. Ecclesiophobia. That's the fear of churches. Well, you can see a lot of our members not here tonight, don't you? They got that. And pantheophobia, it's the fear of everything. You say, I'm afraid of everything. That's you. You're pantheophobia. Three kinds of fear. I want you to notice this by way of the first thought. Number one, there's a holy fear. Deuteronomy says, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him. Proverbs said, the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. You don't start learning anything until you start fearing God. Hebrews 10:31 is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. I hate sin. I hate what sin does to people. Somebody help me preach right there. I hate it. Amen. You know what? I pastor people that's not afraid of God. They'll come to church on their little dutiful Sunday morning. Don't pay a bit of attention. Not very many, but I got them. They're so busy watching their cell phone and posting on their cell phone while I'm preaching. God have mercy on them. Oh, I'm saying God have mercy on you. If you're out there posting right now, God have mercy on you. Don't pay no attention to nothing. You know what I tell you? They don't fear God. They don't fear God. Listen. You know what? They just shake their little bony hand at God and say, yeah, I ain't worried about you. There's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. Oh, am I preaching? Let me go on. I'm going to preach on. There's a healthy fear. Fear not him that can destroy the body, but rather fear him that can destroy both the body and soul in hell. You better know that God can send you to hell if you're not saved. Now listen to this. I really want you to get this. And then there's what I call hurtful fears. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. It's real bad if you let man bother you. I know people say, well, I've been hurt in church. Men's hurt me. I can't trust preachers no more. You mean you're going to let one low down preacher keep you from loving your pastor? Am I preaching? I'm going to tell you, don't you be afraid of man. Now, I respect all y'all, and I'll take wisdom from all you. But I want to tell you, I'm not afraid of you. But I am afraid of God. Amen. Fear hath torment. Romans said, the spirit of bondage again to fear. You don't want to be in bondage. Right. Let me tell you four things fear will do to you. You hear me? Hear me? Once you get it, it'll victimize you. You'll play the victim. Come on now. Look at old little me. Like there's no God you're serving. That there's no power. That there's nobody can help you. Look at little old me. You need to get out of your little old me syndrome and quit being a victim and be victorious in Jesus. And I'll tell you what else fear does. Not only victimizes, but it also neutralizes you. I'm 66 years old. I had some of my Baptist preacher friends told me I was out of my mind to leave that building program out there. That's what they told me. You know what stage of ministry they're in? They're in the monument stage, what they used to be. Ladies and gentlemen, I still believe God moves. I still believe a pastor ought to have a vision, whether he's 66 or 96 or 26. Somebody say amen. And you don't step out on faith, you're going to get neutralized and never meet your potential in God.
Amen.
Amen. Am I preaching? Oh, I'm going to give you some more. Then it monopolizes you. That's all you think about. It's what you worry about and what you're fearful of. It just monopolizes you. I mean, that's all you do. You sit in your office, worried to death. Monopolized. You're not thinking what you can do. You're thinking about why you can't do something. Come on. Not only that, it'll mobilize you. You quit stepping out on faith. Young people, some of you still need to be called to preach. God's calling you. You need to step out on faith. Some of you older people getting called to preach, you need to step out on faith. Some of you need to teach in Sunday school classes. You need to step out on faith. You need to get on a list to be a Sunday school teacher. Hello? Step out on faith. Don't be immobilized. Crippled. I know churches right now, they're crippled. Have no vision. They're immobile. You know why? A pastor or a committee or somebody has told them, we can't. When my Bible said we can do all things through Christ that strengthens me.
Amen.
Listen to this carefully. Let me go on. There are people defeated, distracted, and destroyed emotionally because of fear. Let me go number. Is that good preacher? Number two. I want y'all really get this point. Verse number 7. Again. For God hath not given us what? The spirit of fear. There are specific depictions of fear. And I want you to notice some of them. Number one. We see how fear keeps us from stepping out for Christ. How many people have not met their potential in Christ because of fear? Let me illustrate. I'll give you the illustration. Matthew 25. You don't have to turn around. I'll just tell you there. There's a parable Jesus gave. And here's what the parable was. Jesus gave three different people. One, 5 talents. One, 2 talents. And one. The guy that had 5 talents multiplied the 5 talents into 5 more talents. The one with 2 talents multiplied his talents 2 more times. But the one with 1 talent went out and dug a hole and put it in the hole and decided he wasn't going to invest his life for God. Come on now. I want to tell you what fear will keep you from stepping out. Come on. Look at verse 24 there. See, you know why he didn't step out? He told the Lord, the Lord of the servants, I knew you was a hard man. You was a hard man. And I said, you're going to lay the boom on me. Hold it. Look at me. God is not a hard man. How many of y'all got in your Bible that serving God is a reasonable service? You're not serving a bully. You're not serving somebody that can't be trusted. You need to step up. There's people in this room, you ought to be in the track rack, getting tracks. People in this room, you ought to be winning people to Christ. There's people in this room, you ought to be volunteering to do something for God. But you know what? He said, well, I got hurt in church one time. Well, who ain't? You think I ain't been hurt? I've had my throat cut, my back cut, and my belly split open. But oh man, I'm going to keep on stepping up. Like that old boy said, moving on up. And number two, we see how fear not only keeps us Listen, from stepping out for Christ, but it also keeps us, listen, from standing up for the Lord. You know, Paul said to him, look at verse 8. Look at verse 8. He said, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Hey, Timothy, you're ashamed. You're afraid. You've done shut your mouth and give in to the haters. You listen to me. They ain't going to be no hater to make me quit. And they're haters. There's people hate this church, hate this preacher, hate the deacon board, hate every member, hates the choir, hates everything. But I can't help that. They ain't going to stop me from standing up and being not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. Next time they have somebody saved every week and somebody baptized every week, they can come and counsel me. But as long as they're dead and doing nothing, leave me alone. You said, that's a little ugly. You ain't heard ugly yet. Amen. I'm preaching. Is it all right? How many of you have shut your mouth because of fear? I wonder how many of you don't go soul winning because you're afraid you have to say something to somebody. We make it so easy here to go soul winning that we'll put you with somebody that talks until you will get used to it. And if you never get used to it, you don't have to ever talk. Hello. When I go, I don't talk. I just say, Chad, talk. Because he loves to talk. God's not given us the spirit of fear. Wayne, you hear your smile. I remember when Wayne and two other deacons came up to my house. My wife was pregnant and in flip-flops. The night to come. She gave him a pie. Didn't she give you some pie? Yeah. And then boys said, we want you to candidate down here at Tate Valley. You said, was you afraid? I guess I didn't have enough sense then. I've been praying for that. Why in the world should I be afraid if I've been praying for a full-time position? She said, what'd you do? I just stepped up. And Rick, God has blessed me. You know why He's blessed me? Because everybody knows I know that I don't believe I am anything. And if I lift up Jesus, He'll do everything. I don't take no credit for nothing. And when you start taking credit, God will take His hand off of us. Amen. Amen. I'm just going to be used of God. Number 3, and I'm done. Whew. We have fun yet? Now, you see, Preacher Smith? Okay, I'm afraid and I'm fearful. Just tell me how to get over it. I'm glad you asked me. Please get what I'm ready to preach. Please get what I'm ready to preach. There are 3 deterrents of fear. Y'all want to hear them? Look what the Bible says. Look at verse 7 again. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Now read with me. But of what? And of what? And of what? Here's what happens when fear starts to grip you. There is a power that we can confront our fears. How many believe you, me, that greater is in us than He's in the world? By the way, more than 100 times in the Bible, it says, fear not. Right. I'm going to give you something. Courage is fear that has said its prayers. You'll get that later. Uh-huh. There's power. Now, can I stop a minute? How many of y'all believe God's powerful?
Amen.
How many believe the Son of God's powerful? Amen. Do you believe God? The Father and God the Son are co-equal and co-identical and co-eternal? Well, how about God the Holy Ghost? Is He co-equal, co-eternal with the Father and with the Son? Then how in the world do we get engulfed in fear when we got the Spirit of God in us? I'm going to tell you why you don't. You've got all the Holy Spirit you're going to get. Tell the charismatics, tell them all that the second work of grace guys and the baptism guys, when I got saved, I got the whole deal.
Amen. Amen.
Hello. You've got the power of God in you. The power that created the world. When he said, let us make man in our own image. The power that created man is in you. You know what? If you're in this church and you're fearful and you're letting the things of the world bog you down, you know what you really in essence are saying? I don't believe you got that kind of power. Oh, it's okay for the preacher. It's okay for Kim Whittaker. Okay for Jeremy. Oh, they got it. But so I guess you think you didn't get it when you got saved. You got it.
Amen.
Here's your problem. You got it, but here's your problem. He didn't have you.
Amen.
We got all the Holy Ghost, but I want to tell you, there ain't very many of us very obedient, and ain't too many of us filled with the Holy Ghost, and we're even scared to say the Holy Ghost because we're afraid we'll be associated with charismaniacs. By the way, tell that bunch of Pentecostals and charismaniacs we had the Holy Ghost before they ever knew it. You said you're going to get some hate mail this week. Well, how's some of this stupid stuff I'll say? No, everything's going on the tape today. Number two, there is power that confronts our fears. But what did he say? What's the other one? Power and what? There is love that calms our fears. 1 John 4:18, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out all fear.
That's right.
Amen. Now hold a minute.
That's good.
I've got to tell y'all something. Maybe you're confused, so I'm going to tell you. Perfect love is not your love for Christ. It's His love for you. If it was up to my love for Christ, I'm a nervous wreck half the time. But when I know how much He loves me, and I know He'll never leave me nor forsake me, and I know He cares for me, I know He wants me to succeed, and I know He wants me to be happy, He wants me to have joy, He wants me to find myself, He wants me to abound in grace, He wants everything good for me. So how in the world can I buck that?
Amen.
He loves me when I'm up, and He loves me when I'm down. He loves me when I'm in. He loves me when I'm out. He loves me. See, your whole problem is you're basing on something you've done. Somebody be going through some things. Listen to this quote. He's not trying to break you. He's trying to build you. God ain't never wanted to break anybody. But He sure has wanted to build all of us. I want to tell you something. Over my 45 years of preaching and been a Christian, I have been broken several times. I've been beat around a few times. And I thought, God, why would you allow me to be battered? Why would you allow me to face that? Oh, I know why. Because He wasn't trying to hurt me. He was trying to build me. Can I illustrate by the first major thing that happened in my life? I was a young preacher. I had the honor of getting my dad saved. A 60-year-old bartender, whole life was selling booze and gambling. even though he didn't drink a drop, but he did that. You know, the biggest trial of my life came the day my mother called me. And I was pastor of Leatherwood Baptist, and he was a member there. And my sister's mother called me and said, your daddy was cutting grass at the house where he's replacing. He got a big footer there, 18-foot basement, where his house had collapsed because of water. Sunk, and he had to move it over. It was one of them Jim Water homes where he could move over. Jeremy, he fell down into that pit, 18 feet, landed on bricks, but cracked his skull from here to here, actually on this side. When I went to see him, I could see his brain. Wayne, it was awful. My mother said, she grabbed a hold of me and said, John David, I need you. I can't make it. And I had to be strong. I had to be strong. My wife's not here, but she's the greatest woman in this planet. My mother couldn't handle Dad when he first got out of the hospital, so they brought him to the, you know the house I lived in, Wayne, it wasn't much. And we had a hospital bed in that room. And we took care of my dad for 3 months, and we were newlyweds, and my baby girl was 1 week old when he got hurt. She said, what in the world happened to you? I just trusted God. Oh, I was broken. But I didn't let it break me. I just trusted God. And loved my daddy for the next 7 years, him not really in his right mind, and Ray will tell you that. Hardest time in my life. But see, I want to tell you something. God allows you to go through some things so he can do something greater for you later on. Amen. You said, boy, I've been through some hard knocks. He wasn't trying to break you. He's just trying to build you. I got one last thing and I'm done. Whew. A lot of preaching here. Number three and I'm done. There is a sound mind that commits our fears. D.L. Moody said this. How many of y'all know D.L. Moody's favorite verse? Well, I'll give it to you. Isaiah 12:12. I will trust him and not be afraid. So what's the answer, church, to some of your fears? Now, there's some of you will be reluctant to come around the altar because you don't want to admit you have any fear. But the best thing for you to do is come around the altar and say, I'm facing something that scares me to death. I'm facing something that's got me befuddled. Why don't you come around this altar and do what D.L. Moody says. I will trust him and not be afraid. Now, with heads bowed, I'll give the invitation to Christians in a moment. How many here don't know for sure you're saved? And you say, Preacher Smith, I'm not for sure I'm saved. Just folks are already coming and praying. I'm not sure I'm saved. Preacher, pray for me. Raise your hand. Anybody? God wants to save you today. Stand with me. There's people coming to the altar with heads bowed. Now, it's because how many of you have been battling something? And the devil's trying to cause you to fear. Won't you come around this altar? Come on, make a place here. Come on. Families, grandma, grandpa, everybody that can, come on. And stay here at this altar. I'll trust him and not be afraid. I'll trust him and not be afraid. Come on. Maybe you got some sickness in your life that you're fearful about. Come on. Father, touch this altar call. In Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe you got something in your business that's gotten you watered down. Come on. Talk to God.
Yes.
Just keep coming. That's right, sister. Come on.
Jesus,
I will trust him and not be afraid. keep coming. I will trust Him and not be afraid. God's moving in this church. Come on, folks. Some of you got some battles you're facing. You're afraid you're going down and going under. God's got it. He's got your back. You come on. Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep moving out for God. Keep trusting God.
I've learned to trust Him.
Yes, amen.
Precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that Thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how
Jesus. Precious
Jesus. For grace.
Isn't He real?
To trust Him more.
How many glad you're in church tonight? Amen.